Howdy, folks, and welcome to Moose Podcast 52. I trust this finds you safe and well. We've been hit by so many natural disasters. I hope that everyone who's hearing this is doing just fine. Some of the things I know might be destroying your life, but I trust you are doing just fine. And I thank you for tuning in. Hey, I want to thank my good friends at B&H Photo Video. They're on their vacation schedule. I know it's a challenge sometimes to get things. I know a bunch of you are looking for the D850s. They're coming. It's worth the wait. I wish I'd get it to you faster. But when you talk to those folks at B&H, tell them thanks. Appreciate what they're doing and supporting the podcast. Hey, talking about the D850. All right, so I've had it for a couple of weeks now. Some people have emailed John and Mary and Penny, especially. You guys have said, hey, it seems like you really like the D850. We don't remember you liking the D800 or D810 as much as the D850. Well, you guys are right. The D850 really does a marvelous job. Probably the one big thing that really, you know, brought it home for me, which is really just not important in the scheme of things, but for me, it fits my hand. It just fits really nice. It's tad bigger, tad heavier, and those two tads just make the camera really work for me. And I know it doesn't change the image, the file, the final photograph, but it's a big part of the experience. And, you know, if I'm not enjoying myself, I just won't take pictures. And the D850, I enjoy to shoot. Now, with that said, yeah, we have two in the locker and finding out lots of amazing things. In fact, I'm heading off literally in a couple hours down to Kelby One in Tampa, Florida, just to do a class on the D850. So yeah, I feel that strong about it. What are some of the attributes? Well, we use it a lot for video. That's one big thing. And it's just amazing the dynamic range that it holds. It's more than the D810, D5 when it comes to video, for no doubt. Hands down, it does a really great job. The noise and the shadows in the video, yeah, that ain't there either, which that's really cool. We're loving that. And then when it comes to stills, it does just a marvelous job. Now, the one thing I mentioned before, and I've changed it up again, is my kind of workflow for the D850. I actually am shooting most things in continuous low and going to the custom settings and setting it to 3 frames per second. I'm doing that because I was taking so many frames because it has that faster firing rate, 7 frames by itself, 9 with a grip, that I was spending so much time deleting all these extra shots because I didn't need a bunch of big files. So I said, you know, this is kind of stupid and anti-productive of my time. So I simply put a continuous low, set the custom setting to 3, and it's just working really well. I shot this entire last week in the Palouse with nothing but the D850, and it never, not once, ever let me down. It did a marvelous job. So the D850, you've got the fact that the firing rate, the autofocus, I mean, I was shooting with a 6-stop neutral density filter and a 2-stop polarizer, and the camera would autofocus through those. The D5 can't. I tried them side by side. It's not doing it. It has, it makes beautiful files. I actually have to scale down the file to make a 24x30. Its native size is a tad bigger. That's pretty darn cool. I'm having to think about my workflow a little bit better when it comes to post. File size management, I think, is something I've kind of slacked off on. So thinking a little bit more, making my files to be as small as possible. Because, 220 megabytes, when you open up in Photoshop, that's a big file. That's, simply put, it's a big file. There's no reason to fill up a drive if I don't need to. So just making me be a little bit more of a better craftsman, which I'm appreciating. It has an amazing big bright viewfinder. It just does a really great job. So, you know, I can't endorse the D850 enough. And yeah, to you folks that noticed, yes, I do like it a whole lot more than D800 or D810. I have it in my bag, and it will be used. It's going to be used. It has been used, and I love it. So, I'm going to get down a little bit to the podcast and talk about the Palouse. Now, the Palouse is a beautiful region in basically southeast corner of the state of Washington. It's a little bit in Idaho and a tad in Oregon. And what is the Palouse? Well, it's an amazing 3,000 square mile area of beautiful, slightly rolling hills. Nothing really major. No, I mean, it's not flat, but it's not too far from it. And this area is under cultivation. They grow everything from wheat and lentils to my favorite, garbanzo beans. And all those things are part of this incredible tapestry that's the Palouse. Now, you can just drive, as we did. We did over 1,100 miles during the last, 5 days of shooting in the Palouse. And shot and shot and shot and shot. Now, first thing is we lucked into the weather. The week prior, it was in the 90s. When we were there, it got down to as low as 32. But the average temperature was about 43, 44. And I love those cool temps. And those cool temps brought in some really great clouds, a little bit of rain, some hails a couple times. And that combination of that beautiful light, that incredible tapestry of the Palouse and the clouds, it made for really kind of endless photography. We photograph, of course, the landscape. And to bring out, you know, pattern texture, because that's what you're talking about here, the Palouse. You got these rolling hills. They meld into each other. They fold out of each other. They disappear into each other. They just go left and right, up and down. They're just spectacular. So there's a great pattern there. And I'm going to say probably 80% is still this beautiful golden yellow tan color. Then you've got parts that have been disked, and they're really just, you can see how rich the dirt is. You can see why, you know, Washington is the fifth largest producer of wheat in the country. It's got this really rich, rich, rich brown soil that's been disked, and that's here and there, there and here, and that contrast and that stuff, the patterns and the texture is absolutely mind-boggling. And with that, the light, the clouds, oh, it was just phenomenal photography. Now, this is the first time I've been to the Palouse, and I saw a photograph from the Palouse way back in 78 when I was in college. That photograph has always stuck. It's one of those photographs I always wanted to have for myself. Now, I knew going this time of year I wasn't going to see it because it was the photograph is of a bunch of harvesters all in this staggered row cutting down, making this beautiful pattern that we see now and enjoy after the fact. But I wanted to go to the Palouse experience for myself. And it just took me way too long. You know, 78 to 2017, that's just a long time to go and look for a photograph that really inspired you. I mean, it stuck with me, you know, since I was 19 years old. So, I mean, that's just way cool. So here we were up in the Palouse, and you got all these patterns. And then you have this barn or that house or that church or these farming machines or a combination thereof. And you got these rolling clouds. And it's just, wow, it's photographer heaven. So with that pattern and texture being the main thing, exposure is really important because you want to make sure you bring out the shadows, because the shadows is what going to bring out the pattern and texture. So when you go into post to finish that photograph, unlike most times, you're probably going to take that black down a little bit, make sure that black really, that is black, goes black. Because that shadow is such an important part of the Palouse. There's times where you're going to use, I shot with a 1424, no problem at 14 millimeter, worked magical when I needed it, barns and churches, clouds, hillsides. And there's times where I shot at 400 millimeters. There's times I shot 400 millimeters with the high-speed crop turned on. So I was shooting at 600 millimeters with a D850. And all those focal lengths and everything in between just were easy to use in any scenario to make the photographs. Now, the clouds we had, they were big, towering, just spectacular clouds. So that kind of made the photography a little bit of a challenge because what are you going to emphasize? What's the subject? You know, is it going to be the hills, the textures, the pattern, with the clouds just kind of being the little in the background filling in so you don't have a bald sky? Or you can use big drama. That was a challenge. There was many times where I shot it both ways. And I don't think I've really analyzed which I like best yet. For example, we had this one occasion where the Snake River, which is between basically Idaho and Washington, it just rained the night before, so that next morning it was full of fog, just this dense, big fog. There was a real layer of it right in the Snake River, Hell's Gate Canyon. And you get above it, up onto the Palouse, and the fog was just lofting up. It was just like, you know, a cotton candy machine at a state fair going crazy, spitting off these big clouds. And these clouds came out and right behind this barn, and it's like, wow. I mean, you just don't see these big clouds, all this mood from bright white to dark gray right at eye level with a barn. I mean, 400 millimeter, make those clouds big, make them a big part of the scene, make that barn small, just a little like accent piece. Then there's times where, you know, you would sit there and you could take a 14 millimeter and get up close to the church or the barn or the big piece of antique machinery, make it big in the frame and still have those clouds a great backdrop for this drama that is the Palouse. So if you think I went to the Palouse and I fell in love, yeah, I did. I mean, I'm taking a group back there next April. I want to see it when it's green. There's so many incredible, nothing else, red barns in those green hills that I'm sitting here looking on the web. I don't see people photographing them. So it's like, hey, I'll be happy to go up there. I mean, that's like money in the bank. So I'm going to be back there with a group next April, I think it is. So the Palouse, Sharon Price summed it up the best. She says it's just an amazing place of solitude. And that's probably, you know, really sums up both the location and the photographic challenge. How do you bring that solitude of the Palouse in your photograph? We cruised one road three different times on two different days. And I bet we could have gone many more times and not once taken the same photograph twice. And this section of road was only 12, 14 miles. I mean, it was nothing to it as far as the length. But it had so much incredible solitude in everything you saw and you photographed that you just wanted to do it over and over and more and bring it all back. So the Palouse, you're going to hear a lot about that from me probably. I really just fell in love with this place. It was just spectacular, spectacular. What a piece of our wild heritage out there. Hey, so solstice coming up. Oh, I got to turn the clock back. So I wish they'd stop screwing with those clocks. I have no problem with time. When they do that, I get even worse. But here on the Eastern Sierra, news break. So we got approximately 3 inches of snow here on the Eastern Sierra this last Thursday or Friday. That's right. We have snow on the tops of the mountain peaks here in the Sierras, and it's September. My goodness. But the good news was had incredible cold snap, and after our great wet spring, fall color is coming. Now, at this point, you have to look hard to find that fall color. My prediction is in the next, I'm going to say 7 to 10 days, it's going to go ballistic. And I think it's going to go ballistic in a big carpet way. It's not going to be a little patch here, a little patch there. It's going to be just gorgeous. So that's the news from Fall Color Eastern Sierra. It's going to be spectacular. What else? Hey, heading back to going up to Yellowstone, heading to Vermont, going back down to Tampa. I mean, we're just busy. And if we happen to see you, please stop, say hello. I'd love to talk to you, meet you. If we can be of any help, remember, you can email me, moose@moosepeters at any time, and I will personally get back to you. And all you folks who have bought Takeoff, and boy, is it taken off, thank you so much. That means a lot to me. It's just, it's this photographic process. It's just very special, very unique, and I just feel honored that I can share it with you. Just remember to go out and make every click count.